Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome in. Welcome into the Arrowhead Attic podcast. Patrick Allen here for the Thursday show. Excited to welcome you all in to another edition of the Arrowhead Attic podcast. I got a great show for you today. Really exciting guest that we're going to have on. He's been on the show before. He's not been on the show with me. I think he was on with Verderam a while back. My guy, BJ Kissel from over at KCSN, formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm sure you all know BJ, and over at Arrowhead Pride at SB Nation. BJ and I go way back. We've known each other for a long time. Actually, funny enough, just met in person for the first time this year in Kansas City, of all places. So I'm excited to have him on the show. Get to him in just a minute. Tons of Chiefs news out there right now. Give you some guys some time to get in here. Jerome Bunkers, what's up, man? Patrick looks dapper as always. I will take it, man. I don't go the glasses route very often, but you know, hey, I'm running out of contacts and they're expensive. So what's up? Shout out to Phantom. Oh man, from California. Welcome. So just some quick Chiefs news to get to really fast. I want you to head over to arrowheadattic.com. Matt Connor's on vacation, but the content continues to flow over there. A few news items and articles you're going to want to check out. Our guy Lucas just published 4 most exciting KC Chiefs undrafted free agent additions. You're definitely going to want to read that. I mean, here we are, it's June, so that's the perfect time for that kind of article. And a couple of news items as well from CBS. The Chiefs are rumored to be down. It's down to the Chiefs and Bills supposedly for the services of DeAndre Hopkins. So you're going to want to check that one out as well to get the details on that. We're going to talk about that a little bit here in the show. And then is it sink or swim time for tight end Jody Fortson, also from Lucas? And Matt Connor wants to know if Cornell Powell should warrant more buzz for the Kansas City Chiefs. Interesting. I don't think so, but let's see what Matt Connor has to say. Head on over to arrowheadattic.com. Check that out. Whoa, Daniel, did we just get a new subscriber, Richard, to Rookie Camp? My man. Awesome. Very excited to have you. Shout out to all of our members. You guys, your support of the show means everything to us. Okay, real quick, we're going to get to BJ. I just got to let you know, if you're interested, NBA Finals going on, maybe looking to make a little extra money, have a little bit of fun, Caesars Sportsbook. We got this great offer from them. You don't want to miss it. It's new customers, and you can get your first bet at Caesars up to $1,250. All you got to do is use our code ARROWFUL. That's ARROWFUL at sign up. If you use that code ARROWFUL, you'll not only get your first bet insured, but you're also going to be directly supporting our podcast. So if you've not signed up for Caesars Sportsbook, just join with our code ARROWFUL and drop your first bet. This offer is available for new customers only, 21 and over, and physically present in a legal gambling state. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Use our code and check the episode description for full terms of that offer. And if you already have an account with Caesars, you can head to arrowheadattic.com/bets. To find out more, we've got more betting offers over there, and it's a great way to support the podcast. And you can scan that QR code, that fancy new QR code that Richard put up on the screen for us. And again, yeah, welcome to our new member. That's super exciting. Oh, Evan, this is the community that you want to be a part of, because our community members gift memberships. That's how much they want you to join the fun. We've got a great private Discord. We talk Chiefs in there all the time. It's a hell of a lot of fun. So, and there's, you know, member only events, all that great stuff. Check it out. Link in the description. All right, let's get to BJ. He's a busy man. I don't want to waste his time. BJ Kissel joining us from KCSN. How you doing, man?
Doing well, Patrick, man. blew my mind when I heard your intro and you said that it was the first time we had met in person. I knew that was it, but it feels like you and I have known each other for so long. And I heard you let Matt Connor go on vacation. Like, what a guy.
Yeah.
Like you let your guys get some downtime.
Every once in a while, you know, we let him out to get some fresh air. And the thing about Matt, he's such a good dude. And you know this from working with him over at SB Nation. He's just, he's got such an incredible work ethic. Like we tell him we've got a whole crew of people helping cover the site. It doesn't matter. He pops in at like, you know, midnight, all of a sudden a post goes up. He really just cares about the site so much. Another reason why everybody should be reading it all the time. But yeah, I hope he's relaxing as much as possible, but he just can't quit it.
Yeah, no, we worked together back, back at SB Nation Kansas City, back when the regional sites were a thing. Matt ran it and I was running for that site. But I think I've said it before, and you mentioned Verderon and everybody, like, it's a beautiful thing about the Chiefs content space is so many of us have known each other for so long and we could be at different platforms. We all support each other. We're all rooting for each other to do cool stuff. Like it's a beauty. I'm sure there's similarities with other fan bases. And different people who cover different teams, but it's special for us since we all kind of came from the same place long, long time ago and kind of branched off. And it's just cool that we all stay in touch and that we're all still doing it because obviously it's a passion of all of ours.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's been over a decade now. You know, funny story, not all the people know this. I, for like a hot second, was going to write for SB Nation Kansas City. And I was like onboarded and everything. I was going to cover Royals games, which I'm not a Royals fan, but I was going to become one. And this is before I went full time with FanSided, and I was just a contractor. And then, you know, word got back that that was when I was running Arrowhead Addict, and they were like, conflict of interest. And I'm like, really? So I never did it. I was like, I got in there and I was all ready to go. And then I got booted out. So who knows? Who knows what would have happened? But,
looking back at SB Nation Kansas City, it didn't last very long. It wasn't around for, I don't know how long it stayed after I was writing for them. And I was still at Arrowhead Pride at that time. But all I remember, the thing that I remember most about SB Nation Kansas City was I did during the draft leading up to the NFL draft, I did like a choose your own adventure. And it gets into like the nerdy, like digital media side of things and page views and all that, where I just made everything a hyperlink and I created so many different articles that you could click off from one thing to another. And it was back when you could like watch the page traffic, like in real time. And I just remember creating that. And I had like 70, 80 pages created of like two paragraphs. And as soon as it posted, I just watched like hundreds and hundreds of page views turned to thousands, like in the moment, because everybody's clicking on everything. Like from a digital media standpoint, impressions and page views, I'm like, this was a brilliant idea like for leading into the draft. It's one of the things I was most proud of at the time. I was like, this worked.
Yeah. Those pieces are a lot of fun. I've done one of those in the past. I know some other people have. And boy, once you go down that rabbit hole of like splitting off the different branches, it gets insane trying to keep track of everything. And then another thing that we learned, and we had to tell our contractors this all the time, is like, hey, because they'll come for you. There's somebody owns the term choose your own adventure. And if you call it that, you will hear from their lawyers.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We've had it happen a couple of different times. And we say like, you can do it. Huh. You just like choose your own.
I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, choose your own blah blah blah, but you can't say adventure. They will come get you. All right,
probably get big enough for anyone to see it.
Right. we got you here. We're here to talk some Chiefs. So I had a question for you that was going to come a little bit later in our talk, and it was about Frank Clark. And it was going to ask you if you thought that Frank Clark maybe he'd come back to Kansas City. He's been out there for a while. You know, loves the team. Has had a lot of success there. Obviously, the news just hit just a couple hours ago. Frank is he signed with the Broncos. I think it was like a $7 million deal. So he was there with the team at the White House this week. And a lot of people, you know, people were asking me, hey, do you think that means he's going to resign with the Chiefs? Is that a clue? And I said, I don't think so. He's out there. You know, he's going to go to the White House. But he goes to Denver. So I've seen you tweet about Frank. Obviously, you worked for the Chiefs, so you know a lot of these guys personally, and you had some firsthand experiences with him and the kind of human being he was. How important was he behind the scenes, in your view, to the success of this current Chiefs run? And how hard is it personally for you to see him in a Broncos jersey?
Yeah, it's gonna sting a little, but you know, it's different. Patrick, when you get to know him, and I'm not going to pretend that I was friends with Frank, we were hanging out and that kind of stuff, but you get to know him as people. And I've said this before, like my respect and my fandom for getting to know at any kind of level these guys wasn't conditional. You know, it wasn't based on only them when they're with the Chiefs or when they leave. I mean, obviously I want him to have success except when he's playing against the Chiefs, but I haven't been shy about what I believe Frank meant to that room on the defensive side when he came in. And I've made that point. And I've said it many times before that, you know, as much as a difference as Patrick Mahomes made to the offense, I believe wholeheartedly that the Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark, when they came in and changed the culture of that defensive room, was almost equally as impactful. I'm not going to say it now because it's proven that he's going to be the best player to ever play the game. So I don't want to make that statement, but it was almost equally as impactful for the leadership, the professionalism, the way that he went about his business, and the way it's a bigger discussion if we want to get into it, but playing through pain, playing through injuries, and playing when you're at 70% and you might not put up the same kind of numbers that your contract would dictate, but you're giving everything your body in that moment can physically give. As a coach, as a teammate, as somebody who's around, like, you reward that. Like, that's exactly what you want from your guys. But then when they don't play up to the standards that the contract states, then you criticize them for it. And it's like, you can't have it both ways, especially with the guy who was playing through a lot of the stuff. I know a lot of the stomach stuff, but even the nerve issue that he had the year before, we had the big brace on his arm. I mean, the guy couldn't use power on the right side of his body without the whole right side of his body going numb. And so the reason why there were certain power moves he couldn't do, and he was spinning and trying to do different things. He gained weight trying to help that a little bit. But I saw a guy just invest into his teammates and be as open with the media and people who ask him questions. He was genuine. You would get a real response from him, a genuine one when you asked him a question. And we saw it a little bit last year at training camp, working with George Karloftis after practice. He was just known to do stuff like that. So I wasn't going to be surprised at all if he came back to Kansas City. He spoke, you know, I'm glad he had a chance to speak about his relationship with Coach Reed publicly and kind of get people got to see that side of him that last 6 months. I think that was really important that everyone else got a chance to see. That was kind of what people around him knew about him, but on the masses hadn't really had those kinds of conversations. So I wasn't going to be surprised at all if he came back, if the money made sense, if it made sense for Frank from a playing time and obviously getting King Felix coming in here, if it was going to work. I know he loves it. He loves the staff, but it's a business at the end of the day. And I'm not thrilled that he's going to Denver, but if it's not going to be the Chiefs, I'm not going to hold it against anybody to go to get some money when he's only got probably a couple of these kind of deals left in his career with as much as he's played through. But I think his time in Kansas City is etched in stone. And I hope people remember what he was able to do for this team, both on and off the field, and how he's going to be able to help and kind of that ripple effect of guys like Karloftis and the guys that were around him last year and what they'll be able to take from him.
Yeah, terrific insight. And we saw that with Alex Smith taking Patrick Mahomes under his wing. He didn't have to do that. And it's difficult for us as fans sometimes to know everything that's going on behind the scenes. There's personal reasons for that information not to come out. There's tactical reasons for that information not to come out. And it's, you know, sometimes these guys get signed and they get a big contract and fans, they put expectations on them. And I think it's important sometimes for us to step back and say, hey, like, the guys who run this team are pretty good at what they do. Mm-hmm. And look at the results. Frank is a piece of a couple of championship teams. And boy, did he show up for them, particularly in the playoffs. He dug really deep.
One of the common threads of small businesses is that so few are responsible for so many things. That's what makes it vital to have the right people in the right places. This is where LinkedIn Jobs comes in, and that's why we want to tell you about them. When you're hiring for your small business, you need to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why LinkedIn Jobs is so vital. They have the tools to help you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Look, LinkedIn isn't just another job board. They have a vast network of more than 1 billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else, and they do all that while making the process easy and intuitive. Look, hiring is easy when you have that many qualified candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. 2.5 million small businesses are already using LinkedIn for hiring. You should too. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/arrowhead. That's linkedin.com/arrowhead to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Mike Rowe here with a radical idea. If you want to see more companies make more things in this country, buy more things from more companies who make things in this country. I refer in this case to the incredible t-shirts, sweatshirts, blue jeans, and more made by my friends at American Giant. Everything American Giant makes is made in the United States. And right now, you can take 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com/Mike. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Which leads me to my next question for you. And I Verderham was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about the possibility of Frank coming back and said, gee, you know, if he comes back and wins another Super Bowl, like his career starts to look kind of interesting, particularly with his production in the playoffs. But I wanted to ask you, for Kansas City, do you believe he belongs in the Ring of Honor?
As an individual and what he was able to do, yes. The reason I hesitate is there's a lot of guys that need to go in the Ring of Honor. There's a backlog of guys, especially from the 2000s era. That whole offense needs to be in the Ring of Honor, and they only put one guy in a year. And so eventually, yes, I think he deserves to have his name on there for what he was able to do. And what he meant to that team. And I think the people that were around him, his coaches, the support staff, obviously his teammates, they could speak to those things. And when you hear those guys talk, it's not lip service. I mean, he meant a lot to that room and to that group. So I would absolutely love to see him in there. I think he deserves to be in there. But there's a lot of other guys that have had to wait a long time that aren't in there yet that deserve to be up there too. And we don't want to shortchange those guys. But when you look at the handful of guys that made this happen over the last several years, Frank is in the top tier of that group of guys that deserve all the love and recognition for what the Chiefs have done successfully over the last several years in this dynasty and this golden age of Chiefs football right now.
Yeah. I think he should be put in just for his post-game interviews alone.
Yeah.
I think that provides plenty of entertainment for all of us. Look, it was kind of a bittersweet week for the Chiefs. It was a bittersweet week for the Chiefs. They got to celebrate their win of the Super Bowl at the White House, but they also lost Norma Hunt. Now, you worked for the Chiefs, so I had to ask you, did you get a chance to meet Norma Hunt? And can you tell us a little bit about the kind of person that she was and what she meant to the organization?
Yeah, you can't work for the Chiefs and not be fully aware of what Norma meant, not just to the Chiefs, but just to the NFL in general. And when, you know, the Chiefs came and what, you know, her and Lamar were able to do together and how much she was really a part of a lot of the things that went down and how it all came together. I didn't have a chance to talk with her a lot, was around her, met her just in passing, but they do such a good job within that organization of, you know, one of the pillars of the organization is honoring tradition. It's, and again, not lip service. They wholeheartedly lean into that. You know, anytime Clark speaks, you hear him talk about his dad all the time. And you hear him talk about his mom and you hear people talk and you saw it around the league. The other NFL teams and executives expressing their condolences, to the Hunt family and to the Chiefs organization. And that, you know, they're, the NFL as it is today and the Chiefs as they are today, Norma Hunt, you know, you talk about the Pro Football Hall of Fame and, you know, people that have been, that have impacted the game in different ways and going to all the Super Bowls is a line that you use in talking about Norma, but even going back to way back and selling season ticket packages when they first came, like she was so involved in so many different things and still was as that first lady of football that it was definitely a sad day. In Kansas City, and you feel for the Hunt family and what she meant to them. And I think everybody in Kansas City owes something to her and the legacy that she's created and has been a part of creating what Chiefs Kingdom is right now.
Absolutely. And it's great to get that kind of insight. You know, obviously Clark is there and represents the family at most things. And I think it's just good for fans to know, because obviously, I mean, you, me, so many people that we've already talked about. Like we have careers in part because of the Chiefs, our love for the organization, the success that the organization has had, and the impact that football has had on all of us. So it is a big loss for somebody who was around for the entirety of this run and helped to craft it and support the family that is responsible for it. So yeah, our hearts go out to everyone in the Hunt family here at Arrowhead Addict, Fansided, a tremendous loss for the Chiefs and for the NFL. Switching gears a little bit here to something a little bit more lighthearted, as we were talking about the Chiefs at the White House, there was a funny moment there where Travis Kelce tried to take the podium and Patrick stopped him. And it was obvious. I said, some people asked me, like, do you think that was a planned bit, or was it spontaneous? I was like, no, it's clearly a planned bit. Like, you actually can hear Travis say to the president, stay right here for a second. He goes over there. I got a big kick out of it. I know everyone else did too. So I wanted to ask you, you know, would President Travis Kelce unite the country?
Probably not, just because he speaks his mind and isn't afraid to speak his mind. Let's put it that way. And maybe some people wouldn't take it the right way if he wasn't on their side with certain things. I definitely think he'd rile up his supporters pretty well. He's done that with Chiefs fans pretty well. And we're a Riley bunch. We can get riled up pretty easily. Yeah. Especially nowadays. You just mentioned that anybody else is a top quarterback in the NFL, and just watch Chiefs Twitter just descend on that thread. But I think if a little bit of coaching, a little bit of meeting him in the middle, I think he could be a good representative of an organization. I don't know about the country, but it would be entertaining. That's for sure. And as somebody that supports him and likes him, I would have loved to hear what he would have had to say. But I can't imagine that you can kind of riff like that at the White House and situate if that was not a planned bit. I think that we would have seen Secret Service or something act a little differently had they not known that was part of the deal.
Indeed. I would sign up for President Kelce for a day, at least a day. Speaking of Mahomes and Kelce, their chemistry and friendship, I thought, you know, that was on display right there in that interaction. What do you think that they rank kind of like all time as far as like the NFL's greatest quarterback receiver duos?
Man, this is a perfect like mid-June conversation.
That's right.
It's in that conversation. We've said it before, you know, with like tight end, who's the best tight end. You just want to be in the conversation. You just want to be one of the three or four groups that everybody's arguing about all the time. And everyone's going to have a slightly different perspective. You ask people in San Francisco, they're going to say Montana and Rice. And you can't argue against that. Even like Brady and Gronk during their dynasty, during their heyday, like that was special. But it's hard for us now to really fathom or comprehend what we're seeing, because a lot of things you don't really appreciate until years later, until it's gone. And we've been saying from the beginning, let's cherish this. We don't understand how special this is. And as much as we talk about Patrick Mahomes, I still don't fully think we all understand that we're watching the greatest player to ever live. And we can make that comment without it being this hot take. And he's 27, 28 years old. He's just starting his prime. And so I definitely think they're in the conversation. I see Ronald Rodriguez saying top three. Absolutely. I think that they're in the top three. You have a tight end that I think no other tight end in NFL history had three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, and now he's done it seven times. And that you know on third down, he's going to run an option route. He's going to run a Y stick, whatever it is. He's going to be open, and he's so good at getting open, and they're so in sync on the same page with leverages and coverages and where guys are, that it's that innate ability and that instinctual, they see the game, they feel the game the same way. And a lot of that stuff, you just can't coach. It comes from reps. It comes from them being comfortable and talking to each other and watching film together. And this is stuff that happened years ago. And now they just kind of get it. They just see things the same way. So I definitely think they're in that conversation. I would put them at the top just because I'm extremely biased. But I don't think at this point any rational football fan couldn't have them or wouldn't have them in that conversation.
You're right. And they've got hopefully years to go. We talk on the podcast a lot about, you know, appreciate Travis Kelce now. He's still at the top of his game. And we certainly hope for that sort of, as a lot of tight ends tend to have, these pass catching tight ends, they don't tend to fall off a cliff. There's that sort of just like slow decline. And that's what we're hoping. We're hoping for about three more years, prime Travis Kelce, maybe four, That would be great. And then just, you know, he can play for five more years if he wants and just continue to be that guy who, hey, here's 700 yards, 800 yards, and a few times. Yeah.
His game would translate very well. If a 39-year-old Antonio Gates and Jason Witten can go out there and run around and get open, Travis Kelce's going to get open. But I've said before, Travis Kelce may be one of the toughest players that, I mean, they're all tough. I mean, that's relative. These guys play in the NFL. You've ever been down near, go to training camp, be near when they're even doing thud. It's a different world. You get down there in a regular season playoff game. Those guys are just wired differently. But Kelce's done such a good job of doing everything he can to take care of his body. But it's a position that you get beat up. He gets hit a lot. He gets pulled to like everything that goes into playing tight end. You don't know how long his body's going to hold up. And the more that he does things away from football, he hired an off the field agent to get him ready for more things like Saturday Night Live. He'll get into acting, I'm sure, and hosting. And he's going to be one of those guys that's going to be good at anything that he wants to do. And it's going to be as long as he's still having fun with the game and his body will allow him to play. You can see him keep playing, but having a chance to be around him, I don't think he'll ever get enough credit for his toughness. We'll watch his highlights, his ability to get open, his hands, but that's a tough SOB. And he did a lot to stay on the field and get back on the field for his teammates. That's a lot of the stuff that I got to see behind the scenes is what these guys go through. And then you get on Twitter and it's like, these guys don't care and they don't care about, they only care about some money. I'm like, I saw that guy like needing help to get on the bus after the game or getting help to get on the plane after the game. Don't say these guys don't care. So that's the stuff that used to bother me, but tough SOB that one.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I hurt myself this morning unraveling the garden hose. So, you know,
I've been pitching a baseball game a week ago and I still could barely move my right arm. And so like, it's different. Yeah. These guys are wired differently.
They sure are.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, speaking of wide receivers, there's been a lot of talk about the wide receiver group this offseason. Brett Veach has certainly earned the benefit of the doubt with his roster decisions, particularly recently. Some fans, though, think the group could use a little bit of juice. Are you confident in this group as it's currently constructed? And then, of course, I've got to ask the question. Everybody knows it's coming, especially given the CBS report about the Chiefs and Bills being down to those two for DeAndre Hopkins. Do you think they should get or try to get DeAndre Hopkins?
Yes. DeAndre Hopkins has been one of my top receivers, if not my top receiver for as long as he's been in the league. I've been a huge fan of his. And I do think the Chiefs could absolutely use him. I mean, it's silly to say the Chiefs couldn't use DeAndre Hopkins and they wouldn't be better with him. He's still one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. I think he put up an average of, I think he had almost 100 yards on average. I think he finished like 700 yards last year or something like that. And he only played in like six or seven games. And he had Kyler Murray throwing him the ball. And the biggest takeaway I have away from watching DeAndre Hopkins last year is that Kyler Murray is not an accurate thrower. You watch DeAndre Hopkins highlights from last year. He's reaching back across the middle. He's falling down. He's diving for passes across the middle when there's nobody around him. Not a lot of yards after the catch because the passes weren't that accurate. I couldn't imagine what kind of numbers he would put up with Patrick Mahomes if Travis Kelce's getting the attention and all that. So I would 100% bring in DeAndre Hopkins and be ecstatic if that was the case. Now, if they don't, the people that have put together the roster that have won a couple of Super Bowls feel comfortable with this group. And they've seen more and they know more than we do, especially at the wide receiver position. So much of it with Andy Reid has to do with the mental ability to understand how to read a defense when you line up at your position. And I've talked about this. A lot of people have talked about this. I know Nate Taylor's written about this a lot, is that a lot of times they're not calling routes in the play. Like they're calling concepts and they don't know what they're going to do until they line up and read a defense. And anytime you talk to the rookie wide receivers, you hear them talk about learning the offense and they kind of have that deer in the headlights look. It's because it's so much different than most anything these guys have done at this level. And so when you're projecting which of these receivers and guys like Justin Ross, and it's like, well, let's not put too much pressure. Let's not pencil him in or write him in pen as the number three receiver before he's ever stepped foot on the field. But athletically, you know it's there. If the health is there, athletically, you know he's got the ability to do it. We've seen that in the highlights. But it's the mental side of how well does he really understand leverages, where the safeties or the linebackers are, and how much trust does Patrick Mahomes have that he'll be in the right spot in the right situation? Because it's not about necessarily him being in the right spot to be open to throw him the ball. If he runs the wrong route, he's bringing a defender into the wrong area, and there's a person where Patrick Mahomes does not expect him to be. And that's a bigger issue that when it comes to those receivers. So it's a big point to say they know more about what's most important for receivers in this offense, and that's mentally understanding what to do. That being said, if you want to go win another Super Bowl, if you want to keep winning these really tight game, I mean, I know we're all in, like we're got all the Super Bowls. It's our dynasty. They're winning close game. They're not blowing everybody out by 10, 15, like 20 points every game. You give Patrick Mahomes a weapon like DeAndre Hopkins, it puts you even higher in my eyes. I do think that they need him, but that's because I don't know what we have yet. And none of us do except for the people in that room. And so maybe it's just the Chiefs fan in me trusting those guys and trusting Veach and Coach Reed and all those guys that are coaching them to know what we have before they go out there and do it. But I would still be a proponent of bringing in DeAndre Hopkins now that he's a free agent. It didn't make sense. Give a big pick and deal with that contract. But now that he's released and you get a chance to sign him to on your terms, I think it makes all the sense. And a lot of teams, you know, not everybody has a ton of money right now. This is a good situation if the Chiefs were going to end up with DeAndre Hopkins the way that it's played out.
I'm with you. And I think that's great insight. And boy, Veach and company certainly have earned the benefit of the doubt. I did not think as brilliant as Mahomes is and everything. I did not think they were going to win the Super Bowl last year at the beginning of the season. I was hopeful, but I thought, you know, transition year, there's a lot going on. Just absolutely incredible. Just elevated everybody to a whole nother level, and Mahomes even more brilliant.
The margin of error gets bigger with DeAndre Hopkins. That's maybe the best way of putting it. You could still win it. Last year, you felt like the margin of error was smaller, but they still had a chance to win, and they did. You bring in DeAndre Hopkins, you give yourself a little bit more bigger margin.
That's when I think about that kind of scenario, I often think about the 13 seconds Bills game, which I was fortunate enough, blessed to be at in person. And I think about that pass to Tyreek Hill where he took it for a touchdown. And that's a play where you look at that and you're like, okay, that things still could have worked out. They still could have won that game. But I mean, that just doesn't happen with anybody else. Like literally anybody else, he gets tackled and then you've got to run a few more plays. And you want a few guys like that kicking around your team. Just because you can win it with guys who can't do that doesn't mean that they're not really, really nice to have.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It makes things easier when you can throw a 5-yard hitch. Or I think that was the biggest thing with Tyreek and leaving is not just how the defense has played differently, but you weren't just gifted 6 yards whenever you want. And they're playing 15 yards off. And it's just like, I'm just going to throw it to him real quick and pick up an easy five. It's the easiest 5 yards you're ever going to get because they were playing so far off. Those were the hidden yards that you weren't going to be able to get as much as they were the big touchdowns on the short little crossers where he finds a way to beat all the angles. Yeah. You know, those DBs, as soon as they take one step, they're like, oh, shoot, I took the wrong angle, even though I knew what I was going to have to deal with.
I wanted to ask you about the draft class. You guys at KCSN, by the way, just do a tremendous job of covering the NFL draft. You guys, if you should be watching and absorbing all the KCSN content, but especially the draft stuff. How did you all feel about this year's draft? Like, how did it go for the Chiefs? And are there certain rookies that you're especially excited to see play?
Yeah, I think, and I'm going to give all the credit to the draft stuff to Kent, Maddie, Craig, Zach Eisen helped out. I mean, those guys were in it. I do a lot more of the behind the scenes stuff, the not fun stuff, running a business now that takes up a lot more of my time. I was really happy with the draft because two of the players that we talked to at the Shrine Bowl that we got interviews with, the Chiefs drafted. And with the 300-400 players you could choose from, and we got 25 one-on-one sit-downs, for two of those guys with Keandre Coburn and BJ Thompson, for us to have one-on-one interviews with them, talking about what it would be like to join the Chiefs and all of that, three months before the draft is what made me most excited in the moment because those guys knew more about them. But yeah, I was excited about the draft class. I don't think there were any huge needs where you need this instant playmaker to step in and make plays right away. Obviously, the K-State fan in me and the Kansas City native, all the stories and just the perfect way it happened for Felix Anidike Uzomah to get drafted, I think was beautiful. As a player that, 3 years ago, weighed 198 pounds. You talk to anybody at K-State, he has worked for everything he's ever gotten, and that is the way that he's wired, which is exactly what you want for these guys, same way that George Karloftis seems to be wired with the way that he's getting after it. And so you put a bunch of like-minded people like that together, and it's going to be special. But I loved the Saturday part of the draft. I loved Shamari Connor, versatile defensive back that it'll be fun to see the different ways that Spags can use him as he kind of develops. I look at probably the second half of the regular season when they really start dialing up the things that they like. But my favorite pick and relative, just the player I think that has the most upside, I mentioned, is BJ Thompson. If you have a chance to watch BJ Thompson, he is a mold of clay. He's got some work to do. I don't know how instant of an impact he's going to make, but for size, speed, athleticism, and then just like unique traits, I'll never forget that phrase. Chris Ballard said that to me years ago when he was working in Kansas City. He said, you look for guys with unique traits that you can highlight. And BJ Thompson has some absolutely unique traits. Again, it's going to be a couple of years, but if 2 years from now we're talking about pass rush, and are they going to extend Felix and Karloftis, and how are they doing? I think BJ Thompson could absolutely be in that mix because of what he brings athletically. So he's got the most upside. He's the player that I'm excited to watch. But Rashee Rice, I mean, they're a handful of those guys that have a great opportunity to step in. And the beauty is none of those guys, outside of probably Felix to some extent, you really need to count on year one. I think those guys are in a good spot, especially with the Donovan Smith signing. Wanya isn't necessarily like, it's him and Yang battling it out. No, there's some numbers there. They can get through it. So I was excited about the draft class. I think it did a good job. If it's anything like even half as good as the draft the year before, it's an absolute dynasty to hit and have that many guys on rookie contracts that you can. The next 2 years of free agency is going to be real fun because of hitting on that draft. If they hit on this one, they're going to be able to have some fun and spend some money, which we'll be able to enjoy March and free agency a little bit more.
Yeah, it's exciting. I'll tell you, man, if Felix adds his motor to Furious George's, man, offensive lines are going to be in for a long day. Those guys are not going to give up. I got just a couple more questions for you. I got to ask, speaking of offensive line, look, they just won the Super Bowl with Orlando Brown Jr. and Andrew Wiley, but the Chiefs, there's a lot of reasons why, opted to make some changes there. Brought in two new tackles. How confident are you in these two new additions?
I guess you have to wait and see when they get out there. I think Juwan Taylor, as far as what they could do on paper before they get out there in pads and do it for real, I don't think they could have done any better. I think it was a perfect way that it happened. You go from Orlando Brown Jr., big, physical, not the fleetest of foot, let's be honest, like not moving his feet real fast. Those speed rushers, those guys, where he gets beat, a lot of times it's with the speed. Juwan Taylor, different kind of athlete, different kind of player. And in that regard, I think it's probably more along the lines of what we've seen with the Chiefs. Eric Fisher was very athletic. Mitch Schwartz was very athletic. They love to get out and get those guys in space and run a lot of, it looks like a quick, you know, wide receiver pass, but it's actually a screen because you've got Creed Humphrey or one of your tackles like 20 yards down the field blocking. So Andrew Wiley was one of my favorite dudes that I was around. And so I was never going to buy in. Again, my fandom and my respect for these guys wasn't conditional on how they played. I knew them as people. I knew what they went through. And when you know somebody, you root for them. You know, when they struggle, you're like, man, that sucks. He needs to play a little better, but I think he's got what it takes. And Andrew Wiley took a lot of, I won't use the words that I use on KCSN because I don't know if that's allowed here, Patrick, but he took a lot of flack all year. But when he absolutely needed to be his best, he was. And you go back to, I believe, that Bengals game, that scramble that Mahomes had where he had that busted ankle. If you watch that play again, Andrew Wiley's ability to mirror, I don't know if it was Hubbard or whoever was Hendrickson, whoever's in front of him, that had about 6 yards of space between him and Wiley mirroring him and allowing to cut the angle so Mahomes could, on a bum ankle, we say bum ankle, and I think it was like the fastest he ran in like 2 years on the next gen stats.
Yep.
But Andrew Wiley's ability on that play should never be forgotten. And he struggled during the year, gave up a lot of pressures. But when he needed to be at his absolute best, he stepped up. And it's the reason the Chiefs won a Super Bowl, in large part, was the way the offensive line and specifically Andrew Wiley himself played down the stretch. And so I get it. All the moves made complete sense to me. I'm glad Wiley got paid. Even glad Orlando Brown Jr. got paid. I think that's a good sign for any young player that's coming through Kansas City. You do the right things, you win, then you go get paid.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love Andrew Wiley. What a story. He got the job done. That's what he got paid to do. He got the job done. Very, very happy for him. When we talk about the young talent on this roster, who do you think could have the potential breakout season? Obviously, you got like guys like Sky Moore, George Karloftis. There's more. Kadarius Toney would technically be a breakout for him. Is there somebody that you think is most likely or more likely to take that great leap forward?
Man, there's a lot. Kadarius Toney being one, just having a full offseason to learn the offense and not just have probably certain, not without knowing, certain packages and certain plays that he knew, and he only worried about those. He didn't try to worry about the rest as he came in the middle of the season. But to see what he can do, if he can stay healthy, what kind of role do they put him in? Do they put him in the DeAnthony Thomas, the early Tyreek Hill, and then the Mecole Hardman, a lot of the jet, that whole package of plays with the jet sweeps and the ghost action and all of that, that leverage and those threats with that kind of skill set? Or do they put him, I would say, into a traditional wide receiver role, but how do they move him around? How many different packages is he a part of in the areas of the field that he's attacking? I think that he's a player I'm excited to watch. Brian Cook is a player that I'm really excited to watch because physically it was there, doesn't slow down, gets after it, getting more comfortable with the defense. I think Spag said it a couple weeks ago, and I think I saw a quote that one of the veteran defensive players this week, I think it was Justin Reed, said we're light years ahead of where we were last year. And Patrick, you know this, those guys, when they're rookies, any kind of impact they have is really impressive as a rookie, not just because they're rookies and it's the first time, but they just spent months not getting ready to play football. They spent months getting ready to be really good at exercise drills at the combine and their pro days. They're not preparing to play football. And now they get an entire offseason to play football and they know what to expect. And so that whole group that we praised last year, those rookies for being so good, Brian Cook, Jalen Watson, Trent McDuffie, Josh Williams, that whole group, you could pick any one of those dudes and say that guy is going to explode this year. And one of them will absolutely explode and be a completely game-changing, different kind of player. And it's strictly because they had an entire offseason to really hone in on how to become a better or how to be a better pro. They know what to expect. But Brian Cook's the one that I'm really excited to get a chance to watch up at training camp and then see once we get into the season, him kind of take the reins of that position and start playing a little more free and stop thinking quite as much and just get after it and go hit somebody. It's fun to watch in college.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. You got to run the 40. You got to look good for these tests. Now it's like they got a chance to test their mettle against the best of the best in that competition. And now they know what they need to do. Maybe you need to get a little bit stronger. Maybe you need to get a little bit lighter. You need to work on this area, that area. You're with a whole year of a pro strength and conditioning. Toney, I think, if I've said on the podcast multiple times, is going to benefit from working with the Chiefs coaching staff. Could he still have injury issues? Of course, some things you can't avoid, but, and I know that they got kind of like a bad anonymous rating and everything I've ever heard about the Chiefs training staff, the results on the field, people staying healthy has been tremendous. Them being healthy has been a big part of their Super Bowl run. So I'm excited about all of that. Last question for you, and I'll let you get out of here. And I got to ask it, but I'm not going to go all the way with it. Early predictions, but I want to know where you stand. Do you think the Chiefs can at least make it back to the, will they at least make it back to the Super Bowl this year?
I'll go as far as say, I think they'll make the AFC Championship game. I think it's a coin flip. I'm not going to disrespect how good the Bengals or the Bills, and the Bills, they have some changes. So do the Bengals. I mean, both those teams lost more. They lost a lot of stuff, but I think the AFC Championship game, you don't make it to that, the season's a disappointment. You lose the AFC title game and you gave it your best shot. You don't know about injuries or how it all plays out, but I've always said, like, if they don't make the AFC Championship game, I think it's a disappointment. Winning the AFC Championship, going to the Super Bowl is tough, especially doing a second year in a row. That's why a lot of teams don't repeat. They don't go back and win it. It's where the Chiefs could really separate themselves. And we use this word dynasty. They go back to back in any of these years. I think it solidifies that point that we've all made about, you know, the Chiefs being in the middle of a dynasty. A lot of people started using that word. Some people used it early on before it was probably official or however you want to describe that. But I do think that they're obviously going to be the favorite in the AFC. But for me, anything short of the AFC title would be a disappointing season if they lose that to another team for whatever, however it plays out. not going to say it wouldn't sting, but you get back there, I think that's kind of the floor of, you know, what a good season would look like, in my opinion.
Just amazing that we're here. I mean, that we're sitting here and we're like, yeah, I'll be happy if they get the AFC Championship game. Like that, that would be a successful season. And before, I'd be
just, we're old.
Yeah, right. I was thrilled.
We were grinding out. Our careers started when they were awful. And so it's like, if people are like, is it hard to find things to talk about in June? It's like, not really. Like, we're conditioned for this. Like, everybody, me, you, Connor, Matt Verderam, Stags over there. Like, we've all been doing this. Seth Kaiser, like, we've all been doing this together for so long. Obviously, Craig, who's working with us now. Like, we were all together back then figuring out ways to create engaging content when the team wasn't good.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm never going to take what is happening right now for granted, because I remember just praying for relevancy. Give me a relevant game in December and just make me into it for some reason, that give me that hope that, hey, if these seven teams lose the next three games and we win out, like, we have a chance at a wild card.
Yeah.
And now we're sitting here talking like, is it going to be disappointing if they, you know, go to the AFC title game and lose? Like, some perspective is always nice to have.
It sure is.
You got to keep the olds around, like us.
That's right. That's right. When Mahomes retires, I'm retiring. Unless his son is entering the league.
I got to respond to this. Sorry, Patrick. So remember the Brody Croll years? I was living in San Diego, and I can, to this day, I talk about this with my wife all the time. I remember the game that Brody Croll started in San Diego. I was just inebriated enough to convince everyone at our tailgate that we've never seen what this guy can do. He's going to come out and light it up. How do we know that couldn't happen? I think we had like 80 yards of total offense in that game. It was one of the most brutal games I'd ever watched. I had every Chiefs fan at my tailgate convinced, is like, we don't know. We don't know what this is going to look like. And so from going from that, and then just like Kyle Orton and Palco, and like get into all of it, like it conditioned us for this, Patrick. But I saw the Brody Croll thing, and I was like, I will always remember that game in San Diego of me convincing all my friends out there. It's like, we don't know what he could do. Maybe it's going to be really, really special. Yeah. It was special. It's just kind of the other way.
He almost beat Peyton Manning one time. I'll never forget that. That was the highlight. Never won a game, but went toe-to-toe with Manning. BJ, can you tell everybody where they can find all of y'all's work over at KCSN?
Yeah, we got plenty of it. So you can find all of our stuff on YouTube by searching KC Sports Network or KCSN. We've got seven different YouTube channels. We obviously do a lot of Chief stuff. We've got about 15 shows a week during the regular season on the Chief side, but we also cover the Royals, Sporting KC, the KC Current, KU, K-State, Mizzou. We've got a storytelling channel, and we've got some really cool things coming up with that. We've got a sports betting channel with Benny Heiss that worked with you guys in the past, that Benny's doing a great job. Excited to have him on board and back in that sports betting space here in Kansas City. But and then podcasts, just search KC Sports Network or KCSN. We've got all the social channels wherever you are digitally that you consume content, you can find our stuff. Just like you can find all the other great Chiefs content out there. There's a lot of great stuff, and we've got a lot of shows by design. The whole point is we're going to have something for everyone. Not everyone's going to love every single show or every perspective, but the idea is to have enough shows and enough different perspectives, enough kinds of shows that you're going to find something in there that you like and you'll want to listen to every week.
It's awesome, man. It's been so great to see it grow. More great Chiefs and Kansas City content for everybody out there. Mountains and mountains of content. So make sure you guys check it out. We got a long sort of 60 days here or so before things get interesting again. So those guys will keep you entertained. BJ, thank you so much for joining me here, taking time out of your, I know, very busy schedule. I really appreciate it. Your time. It's good to have you.
This is fun, man. I appreciate it. Let me ramble a little bit, talk about my guy Frank. Yeah. Take it easy on him, Chiefs Kingdom. He's a good egg. He gave us everything he had, and now he can go get some money in Denver. And hopefully I didn't give him too many of the secrets that we had on Denver over the years. Hopefully he doesn't share those. He can keep those to himself.
But yeah, indeed.
Appreciate you having me on. It was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. BJ Kissel, everybody, from KCSN. Please make sure you head over there, check out his work. Fantastic having you on. All right. That was BJ. Like I said, you know, when we all get together, it's hard not to talk about the old days, but I started doing this in 2009. Actually, even before that, frankly, when I was writing over at Arrowhead Pride at SB Nation. And so it's been a long road for some of us. And to get to this point where the Chiefs are so good and we've got a guy like Patrick Mahomes, which we all dreamed of. You guys know this. I don't need to tell you this. You were in the same boat that we were. We're all fans. And Ronald says, great guest, great interview, Patrick. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you. Yeah, we're trying to mix it up here, keep the Thursday show cooking for y'all. And we've got another great guest next week. I'll clue you in sometime mid next week. We'll keep it a surprise for now, but and we'll get Verderam back on here. Yeah, it has been a long road. And it's just really, you know, we kind of touched on it when we talked about Norma Hunt, but the Chiefs mean a lot to, I know, to you all. Life comes at you. You got a lot of things going on, and it sometimes it can be difficult. You're up, you're down, and to have an escape and something that we all love, which is watching football. I mean, I look forward to NFL season the minute it ends. I never get people complain about preseason games. Bring it all to me, man. Hall of Fame game, preseason, scrimmages, OTAs. I love it. It's one thing that just never gets old for me. It brings a lot of joy to my life, and I know it does for you all as well. Devin says, nice glasses. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Kip, BJ was awesome when he was with the Chiefs. Yeah, man. I mean, what a great job. You know, there's only one of those. And to get to work for the Chiefs, and I believe BJ, I didn't ask him about this, but I believe he got a ring because he was with the team. And when you work for the team, you get a ring. So I should have he should have worn that. Next time we have him on, I'm going to make him bring the ring if he does indeed have one, which I believe he does. How cool. Can you imagine being a Chiefs fan your entire life, getting a job with the team and then getting a ring? I need to find out if they're giving rings to, you know, everybody like the ushers at the stadium, people work at the stadium. Because if that's true, I might just go and spend my time trying to get myself a Chiefs ring. Well, I'll work anything. Mr. Hunt, concessions, ushering. You want me to work in the gift shop? I'll put in a year for you. If the Chiefs win a Super Bowl, if it means I'm going to get whatever ring it is that you give to the rest of the people. What do you guys think? Should I campaign to get a gig with the Chiefs? Chiefer says, I'm going to go work for the Chiefs. I'm telling you, man, like they do that. You work for it's a team effort. It's everybody. I think I know that the Cubs did that when they won the World Series. You know, I think there's probably levels. I don't think BJ got the same ring as Frank Clark. But yeah, Jerome says a ring for concessions. I'm in, right? Like, let's just form a little group. You figure you go work for the Chiefs for even just a year. Your odds are pretty good with the way that they've been winning. So maybe we should, Richard, should we put up a poll? Like, would you work for the Chiefs for a year if you knew that they were going to win the Super Bowl and you were going to get like whatever that level of Super Bowl ring is that they give out? Maybe it's worth, I don't know, $5,000, say something like that, right? But it's like an official, it's the ring, it's got actual gems in it. Would you quit your job and go work for the Chiefs for a year at any kind of position? Like we're thinking like jobs that idiots like us could get. So you're going to be working in the scouting department. Maybe some of you could, but I'm talking like parking lot attendant. Oh, we got a poll up. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Parking lot attendant, you know, concessions, usher, admin in the front office, you know, that kind of stuff. Gift shop. I'd probably really enjoy working in the gift shop, to be honest with you. Someone says, I'm 1 year from graduating, so I'll hard pass. Yeah, don't drop out of school. I wouldn't want to drop out of school. Devin says, I will quit for sure. Latrell says, keep the rings and go do some cap magic. Yeah, just keep winning, right? I think you can buy like maybe Jostens makes one. Like if you want to buy a sort of ring, you know, it's not going to be like what you would get if you worked for the Chiefs, but I think that's a thing that they do. People like buys, like when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, like I've got the program back there. I was fortunate enough to be there. Like, you know, people, but the Super Bowl patch, the jerseys, all that stuff. I was at the gift shop at the Super Bowl. And like, first of all, if you've never been, they have so much stuff. It's huge. Both teams, things for other NFL teams, memorabilia. And it's so expensive. I mean, it is outrageous because of course it is, right? But like, there's some really cool shit. And I walked around that place and I was like, man, I am going to get divorced. because I am going to buy just some outrageous amount of stuff because I can't help it. You know, you see like this hat and you're like, oh, I got to get that hat. And then you see, so, you know, the next thing, and that looks really cool. It's just, it's awesome. If you ever get a chance to be in the same city as the Chiefs during a Super Bowl, even if you can't get tickets to the game, which nobody would blame me if you can't, it's pretty cool. There's a lot of fan events that you can go to that are either free or affordable. And then you can get into the gift shop and, like, you know, stock up on stuff. Chad says, great show today. Appreciate you, Chad. All right. Yeah, we are winding down. But before that, before we go, we got to get to Patty's Power Rankings. And of course, I got to do the quick merch read. You know, we've got Arrowhead Attic merch, new stores up. We got lots of good stuff in there. And we have a special code for you. If you want to buy any Arrowhead Attic merch, check out the link in the description. Use the code Kelsey and you're going to get 20% off your order today. That expires on Sunday. So it's just for this week's listeners. We do this every week. So if you want to wrap the podcast, there's a really awesome black hoodie. It will get cold again soon. Some good hats, good stuff. Check it out. Use that code Kelsey. All right, Patty's Power Rankings. So our producer, Richard, going to be joining me again for this one. He joined me for... what's up, Richard?
What's up?
How's it going, man?
Good, man. I'm well. Mag's out of town. She's at a wedding. She left her and her mother left today. So I'm on my own, man. Latchkey husband for 2 days.
That's exciting.
Yeah,
man. Get up to trouble.
Yeah, I got some cigars. I'm going to get some patio time. It's going to be a good time. So last time you were on with me, we did movie theater snacks, which was fun. This one, I can't remember if we've done it before on the show. Like I was trying to think like what can we rank this week? And let us know, by the way, if you like Patty's Power Rankings, if you want to hear us rank some ridiculous things. Last week we did, I did television shows with our guest Lyle. We did movie theater popcorn. Verderam and I, obviously we do cereals, all those kind of things. I was trying to think of something we hadn't ranked before. And I don't know if we've ever ranked the seasons. We've done holidays. Like Verderam, he was a big Christmas guy. I'm a big Halloween guy. Now, it can depend on where you live. You're originally from California, right, Richard? So like,
indeed,
it's a little different out there when you talk about seasons. So I'd be interested to know about your California seasons and your Chicago seasons. But let's get into it. I've lived in the sort of Midwest area or Northeast my whole life. So my seasons have always been there, you know, New York, Ohio, Chicago. So I'll kick us off with my number four, which is winter, especially in Chicago. Mother of God. Wasn't too bad this year. It's just brutal. You know, in this part of the country, especially, like, there's just no sunlight. It's dreary, gray. The cold, the snow, it just goes on and on and on. It feels like it's never going to end. It's brutal. I'm good with winter up through New Year's because that's when it feels like, even though it's like it starts late, but like you get snow, oh, we're going to wait Christmas or whatever. Like it's still a little bit warm enough in December to like go out, be outside and like go ice skating and do that fun, like wintry stuff. Once we get to like mid January, I'm over it, bro. I don't want any more part of it. It's just gross. Like it snows. And when you live in a city like we do, God, it just turns to slush, gross mud, and it just doesn't melt because it just stays cold. It's horrible. Now that I own a home, it's even worse. The hell with winter. I would rather just have, like, you know, 4 weeks of winter and be done with it. But that's my number four. Screw winter.
All right. That's fair. My list is going to be very controversial here. So, okay. I mean, just as a person who's from the California Bay Area, we're not from SoCal, so I never got a lot of like seasons. It was generally kind of the same. It gets like moderately cold, like maybe 40 degrees or something in a winter. But, you know, it's nice. It's nice year round. Most people like it there. But because I'm deprived of certain things and maybe just physiologically, I don't like summer. That's why it's my number four. I don't like the heat. I honestly don't. I have to work in this room. I'm an indoor guy too. So this apartment gets hot. Yeah. I just don't like it. I'm sweaty. And then I have this theory that, or at least not a theory, just the idea of the practice that in summer I can only take off so much clothing to feel better before I get arrested. In winter, I can put on as much as I want. You can look stylish. You can look cool. So that's just my thing. So I don't like summer right now. I'm feeling miserable, but today is not that bad.
I see you got the window unit back there, right? So like you want to be comfortable and you live in that kind of building or whatever. You got to deal with the noise, right? Mm-hmm. Your window, you can never close out all those gaps. I understand it, man. I got bugs
all over this house. I just see bugs crawling every once in a while. Yeah. Some random bug gets through the window slot.
Yeah, I get it. So, and I've long subscribed to that, which is that like I can always warm up. I can put blankets on. If I'm hot and I'm trying to sleep, you know, the only thing that's ever worked for me when I didn't have air conditioning, if it's just brutal and you don't have AC or you can't afford it or whatever, and like you're hot, if you got a shower or bathtub, whatever, just ice cold. Like right before you go to bed, just blast yourself with ice cold, and it's going to wake you up a little bit, but it'll cool you down for a while, at least long enough to get to sleep. That's the only thing I've ever found to deal
with. Never tried it, but I'll have to do that. I'm sure we're going to have some more hot days. You know, it's only the beginning of summer here in Chicago. So yeah. I'll write that down.
Yeah. They're coming. All right. Number three for me is summer, and it's for all the reasons that you mentioned. It's great to be outside. It's wonderful. I think they have like really temperate, like North Carolina, you know, it's not as bad, but up here, it like you reach this point. June is great in Chicago. You get to like mid July through like early September, and it can turn into the fifth circle of hell, and you have to deal with the humidity. So like somebody in Arizona, summer is like, they don't even go outside. Right. Like that's going to be the worst. They love winter because that's when it's actually like nice out, habitable. Yeah. Summer's great. I love all the sunshine, and we don't get a lot of sunshine here as much as other places. But man, like it can get just brutally hot. And when it's really humid, you can't cool down. It gets impossible. You can't sweat. It's horrible. So yeah, I check out on summer after like July 15th. If it's really, really hot, don't like it. So number three.
That's fair. Do you remember though, just quick tangent, that those old days, the old Uptown office, and we'd have that dehumidifier. It would fill up in an hour. We had this huge thing, and it would just fill up with just water, gallons of water in an hour, because it was so humid in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Not
that
a fan.
That office didn't work right. The air conditioning did not dehumidify. And
it's a broken office.
And they gave us a dehumidifier that was like for like a 200 square foot room. And this thing was like 3,000 square feet. Like it was a complete waste. I don't think it did anything except make work for us.
No, it was nuts. But all right, moving on to three. That's going to be, I think maybe some of y'all are going to realize what I'm doing here. It's spring. My reasons being, you know, it's getting a little warm, but it's a little chaotic because it's going, at least in Chicago, it's going back and forth between hot and cold. It's kind of annoying. You can't really dress, or at least you can't plan your days out, because some days it'll just be like, oh, it's snowing this weekend. Awesome. Great. And then the weekdays are going to be sunny and beautiful. I'm not a fan. Just pick your lane. Either be hot or cold. And I don't like the hot, but I'd rather you just stay one thing. And I could just plan on that. So spring's my third. I don't know.
So it's obnoxious for you. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, at least in Chicago. But
yeah, it can be 40 degrees. And then the next night it's 70. Right.
Yeah. We had weeks that were hot and then snow on the weekend. It was insane here. So I'm just not a fan of that.
All right. I'm going to go with number two for me is spring. What I like about it is that it's generally cooler, even when it gets really hot. So like if we have a day, which is going to happen, I think like tomorrow, be like 87 or something, it's really hot, it'll still be cool at night. And so like it reminds me of the weather when I've been in places like California, when it's warm, you have a warm day, like it peaks, like in the middle of the day, it will get hot and then it cools down and is very temperate most of the rest of the time. So I like that. I can get up in the morning now and like, it's a little chilly, put on a little light jacket, sit on my patio, have a cup of coffee, watch the dogs run around. It's the calm before the hell storm that's going to come around mid July, where we'll get like 2 weeks in a row of 92 degrees with 90% humidity and I won't leave the house. So spring's number two for me.
All right. My number two, it's fall. It's really beautiful, honestly, in the Midwest, especially. Everything just turns orange. And then we're starting to cool down, you know, no more, you know, 90 degree days and 80% humidity. This, like, it's nice. I'd almost call it my number one, but yeah, number two, fall. It's pretty.
I'm with you on fall, and that's obviously my number one. No surprises here. Dude, I just love everything about it. The only gripe I have about fall is that it doesn't last as long as I would like it to. You know, it's for me, it's probably because of like going to school and stuff. Like once September hits, it's fall. Even though it's not actually fall, I'm like, okay, it's September, football's back, college football, all that stuff. But just, I'm a Halloween guy. So You know, I love all that shit. Haunted houses, hay rides, pumpkin patches, picking apples. I fucking love it. Like, absolutely love it. I try to do as much as I possibly can. I eat way too much candy. I drink a lot of pumpkin beer, like all that stuff. Like, you know, I know it got like, it became like a joke, like that season, because they started making pumpkin spice everything. But like, I'm here for it, man. We go to the Apple Hauler, which if you've never been, is great, up in Wisconsin.
I should check it out though.
Pick apples. I make a pie or something, you know, it's just, I love it. And of course the horror element, like I'm just watching scary movies. So what I've been doing, and I go all out, I decorate the house. And it's beautiful, as you mentioned, the leaves change. It's beautiful weather, campfires, like all that shit. Like, I want to live in perpetual fall. I would be the happiest person alive. And what I've been doing to kind of extend that for myself is I'm just starting Halloween season on September 1st. It's like, I'm not, 31 days is not enough. So I schedule out movies to watch. I start the activities. I just go all in. It just annoys me when it's like September like 14th and it's like 83 degrees or 84 degrees. I'm like, get out of here. I want 65, you know, atmospheric, windy, leaves blowing. It goes by too quick. I love fall. It's my number one.
All right. I mean, that's a fair argument. I do like fall, but my number one, it's winter. I'm a freak. But also, as I said, I'm from California, so we don't have snow. We don't have real winters.
Yeah.
So you just realize like it's really pretty, at least for me. It's my perspective on it, of course. It's,
sure.
It's totally, totally subjective. But I just enjoy seeing snow. I'm still not over it. Maybe, sure, we do this list in like a year or two and I might flip. Maybe I'm fall number one, winter number three. But right now I enjoy it a lot. I enjoy dressing up. I enjoy going out, getting all warm, going out and just, you know, having a nice like, warm hot toddy or somewhere. That's fun. Yeah. Something like that. It's not, and you could do activities. You could do baking. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of cool stuff you could do in the winter.
It is nice to get cozy. You know what I mean? Like light a fire, do that kind of stuff inside, hot chocolate, whatever, boozy drink.
I think the city just looks real pretty. Like, you know, snow on the rooftops and stuff like that. It's cool. I enjoy it. Yeah.
It can be pretty as long as you don't have to go out in it. Right?
I go out in it all the time. I do the longest walks in the snow because it's really enjoyable just to see this city just covered in snow, all the brick. But that's just me.
I get all bitter because I would take the dogs out and people don't shovel. And then fair. Like,
as a homeowner, I'm sure it's rough. So.
And when you pull off, like when you, like you pull your car over and you go to get out and it's just, there's a, you get those giant black piles of slush. They like stick under people's wheel wells, you know, and then they fall out and like you step in it. Or like I pull in the garage of my house, you know, and it like falls off my car and I'm like, Jesus. And it's like mud. And oh, it's so, there's the winter just comes with so many caveats. Like it is good in a lot of ways, but there's a lot of bullshit you got to put up with.
Yeah. I slip a lot. I fall down and I still like it. I don't know why. It's just how it goes with me.
Right. Jerome makes an excellent point that fall brings seasonal breakfast cereals, i.e. Count Chocula. Yes, where I gain 15 pounds every fall because I eat Count Chocula twice a day. They don't make Cocoa Crisp like they used to. Awesome. This was fun. I didn't see too many comments on people's favorite seasons. Did we just slow down there, Richard?
Yeah, I don't know. People are just listening. They're that's all. I don't know. Tell us your seasons real quick.
Yeah, right. Yeah, let us know your seasons if you want to throw them out there. We get the results here from the poll. 89% would quit their jobs and go work for the Chiefs if they were going to earn a Super Bowl ring.
I didn't get the vote. You make that 90.
Yeah, and it might be higher if they were going to get the actual ring, like the ring that the players get, because that like could, I mean, those are, I don't know how much they spend on them. They're just filled with diamonds and rubies and shit. Jesus says California summer. Black Owl fall is easily the best. Angry Junk in German, surly. He says it's a fairly dumb poll question. Is he talking about the quitting the job or the seasons?
I think it's the poll.
It's the poll. Ronald says summer, fall, winter, spring. I see. I don't have a problem with people who love summer. Like, I get it, especially if you're a big outdoor person, like a hiker, and like you just want to be out there. I like doing the yard work, but I'm always like an arm's length from air conditioning, which is very important to me. Angry Junk in German likes spring and fall.
What's a good one?
What are the seasons like in Germany? They're like, they'd be similar to here, right?
I would assume so.
Yeah, spring, fall, summer, and winter suck in Missouri. Missouri's warmer though. I always think of Kansas City. in particular Kansas City, as being like the same as here in Chicago, but it's actually a lot farther south, which is something that I always forget. And so that tends to be a little bit warmer there. Same thing with like Wisconsin. Like you go up, like you go just a little bit into Wisconsin and it's a lot colder, a lot faster. Meg and I booked a cabin once. It was like in Wisconsin, but it was about on the parallel of Minneapolis. And we booked it the week of Halloween. It was winter up there. Like it was 31 degrees every day. And colder at night, which I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. We're a lot further north. I'll remember that. That's why this was available this week. But we had fun. We carved pumpkins and just built a really big bonfire. Angry Drunken German says German weather also sucks. Germans feel right at home in Missouri. There you go. All right, everybody, we got to get out of here. I got a cigar to smoke. I got to take the dogs out, all that fun stuff. Thank you so much. We'll have another guest next week. And we'll be right back at it, but make sure you're here early next week for our regular slate of shows with Sterling. I think Matt Connor will be back. Maybe. Yeah, we'll see.
I believe so.
Anyway, thank you so much to BJ Kissel for joining us. That was an awesome discussion. Make sure you guys check out his work over at KCSN. Make sure you hit the like button on this video on your way out. Richard, thank you for joining me to do a little power rankings.
It's a pleasure.
Always appreciate you. And thanks for all you do for the show. For Richard Durante, for BJ Kissel, my name is Patrick Allen. We'll see you guys next week. But until then, as always, go Chiefs.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.